Paul writes, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A couple of weeks ago, I noticed, as I'm sure many of you did, something that happens this time every year. And no, I'm not talking about the changing of the leaves on the trees. And that is certainly something that does happen every year, but that's not what I've got in mind. It's the migration of the monarch butterflies to a certain mountain in Baja, Mexico. I understand Outdoors Delmarva had a piece on that just this weekend. I didn't see it, and I didn't know they were going to plant it, so how about that? You may not know this, but butterflies are an amazing demonstration of God's grace. There's a process in a butterfly's life cycle that is not unlike the spiritual transformation in a person's life. That process is called metamorphosis. The change that an ugly little caterpillar goes through as it turns and transforms itself into a gorgeous, beautiful butterfly. Now, think about it. Caterpillars aren't that attractive. Actually, they are kind of cute and pretty in a way, but they're sort of ugly, too. They're slow, they're prickly, they're always working hard, going nowhere, it seems. Little boys like to squash them with their shoes, and little girls squeal when they see a caterpillar. But at some point in the life cycle of a caterpillar, something amazing happens. A thick film begins to cover the caterpillar, and it entombs itself in its own flesh. Then a chemical reaction changes its very cell structure. This is known as the chrysalis stage. Soon you can see the butterfly within the cocoon before it emerges. See that? And when it breaks out of its cocoon, it spreads its wings and it flies away. You see, the old life of the caterpillar ends, and the new life of a butterfly, a new creature, begins. And that's what I want to talk about today, is discovering the new way, a new way, to a brand new life. The scripture lesson today from Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church, to us, reminding them of the kind of spiritual transformation they went through when they became followers of Jesus Christ. The key verse here today is the same one that's on our banners, actually. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. A new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." Paul is saying that somewhere in the spiritual life cycle of a person, God can work a miracle of spiritual transformation. Before one knows Christ, they're sort of like the ugly little caterpillar. But when they come to the saving knowledge, when they come to the realization that God loves them and that God accepts them just as they are, and they accept God's gift of grace, the Holy Spirit comes into that person's heart, into the cocoon of their heart, and begins a wonderful transformation from the inside out. a metamorphosis, if you will. You might call it conversion. You might call it being born again. In Methodism, we call it justification, justifying grace of God at work. But the result is still the same. It is a work of beauty so that as new creatures in Christ, they can then begin to fly to new heights and enjoy the blessings of this new life, this brand new life that God has given them. This is the blessing of the transformed life through God's amazing grace. Today is Bring a Friend Sunday. Some of you were invited to church by a friend, a relative, a co-worker, perhaps, because they love you. And they wanted you to see what this church was all about, to see what we do here on Sunday morning. Maybe some of you are not in a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a Christian, but somehow, some way, maybe you've drifted away from the church. Maybe you've grown cold in your spirit. And that's okay. If this is the case, then this message is for you. But actually, really, it's a message for each and every one of us. All I'm asking is that you allow your heart to be open to what God is saying through us today so that God's Spirit can minister to you in your heart. Today I'd like to share with you three important truths from this passage from 1 Corinthians. Remember the caterpillar butterfly thing? Well, as you consider these truths I'm about to share with you today, I'd like for you to think about where you are, and this goes for all of us, where we are in our spiritual transformation, where we are in our life cycle, our spiritual life cycle. At what stage of this cycle and change are you in right now? And as we think about this transformation God offers us, let's consider what happens when we accept God's gift of grace for ourselves. First of all, the change that we receive is new life. God gives us a new life. Paul says it in verses 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying that when we accept God's gracious invitation to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot remain the same. No one that came in contact with Jesus remained the same. They were changed. Somehow, some way. Our lives are no longer our own when we enter that relationship, when we receive that gift from God. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for the Christ who died for us. In my research for this butterfly metamorphosis, I learned that the caterpillar is no help to those around it. It doesn't eat other pests. It's not helpful to agriculture. If anything, it's destructive. It only drinks the sap from trees and plants. It lives a very self-centered life. Likewise, when we are not walking with the Lord, the world seems to center around us, doesn't it? We live a very self-centered life without the Lord. And a life we think the world revolves around us. We have something I call I-itis. I've been there. I mean, I was there too. I'm preaching to myself here. Christians, you see, aren't supposed to polish their portfolios or make themselves look good. Instead, the focus of the transformed life is to make Christ look good. The focus should be on Christ and Him crucified. In fact, Paul says it elsewhere in Galatians 2 that, quote, if I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let me share with you an illustration about what God sees when He sees us. The story goes that sometime before the Civil War, a young boy in search of a job came to a farm in Ohio. The farmer knew nothing much about this young man, except that his name was Jim, and he gave him a job. Jim spent the winter cutting firewood, bringing in the cows, and making himself useful. He ate in the kitchen, and he slept in the hayloft out in the barn. Before the next summer was over, Jim had fallen in love with the farmer's daughter. The father refused to let him marry her because he was a nobody. He had no money. He had no pedigree. He had no hopes of a promising future. Well, needless to say, Jim was very disappointed, and he eventually left, packed up his belongings, and disappeared. 35 years later, that old farmer tore down that old barn, and while he was going through the lumber, he found on one of the rafters of that barn the name engraved of that young man that had worked for him 35 years earlier. The name of that young man was James A. Garfield, who happened to be the President of the United States at the time of that man's rebuilding his barn. You see, some people may look at us and think that there's not much hope for us either, but not Jesus. Jesus looks at each and every one of us and sees a diamond in the rough. We may look like an old chunk of coal on the outside, but Jesus sees the diamond that's within. He sees the possibilities of all those who will follow him. He saw possibilities in a tax collector, a hated tax collector named Matthew, who became one of his disciples. He saw something in those smelly fishermen, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and called them to be his followers. He saw another tax collector, little old Zacchaeus, up in the tree. They told him to come down, and Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. And thanks be to God, he sees something in us that no one else sees. Because you see, God sees the heart, not the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Jesus can take our messed up, self-centered, broken lives and make something beautiful from them. Something meaningful. Something useful. You see, Jesus offers us a new life. Not a redecorated, reconditioned one. Jesus offers us a brand new life, hot off the press, straight out of the factory, right off the assembly line. The caterpillar sees a large boulder in its way and would either have to turn in another direction or walk around it. But the butterfly sees that obstacle and sees it as a new elevated landing pad where he can see the world from there and get a better view of where he wants to go next in life. In much the same way, God wants us to fly too. To fly from yesterday's failures. To fly from yesterday's disappointments. And to fly from tomorrow's fears. And instead, to fly with Christ. The second thing that happens when we receive Christ is that we are given a new identity. A new identity. Paul says in verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you hear that? Christ became sin for us, that we might become something new. And in this case, the righteousness of God. What does that mean? Well, when we accept Christ, when we accept the grace of God and God's forgiveness, we are a new creature and we have a new name. At our baptism, we are given a new name. That name is Christian. Because at our baptism, we are received into the kingdom of God. We are received into the family of God. Our sins are symbolically washed away. We have become accepted and initiated into God's family. And we have a new name and a new life. A caterpillar, now a butterfly, has a new identity, a new beginning, a fresh start. Likewise, forgiven sinners, saved by grace, we also have a new identity. We claim the promises of God's word as our own. And many of us may not feel we look much like Christ because of our past failings and our old life is still hanging around. And we haven't shaken off a lot of that stuff yet. But take heart, my friends. Remember that metamorphosis is a lifelong process. It's not instantaneous necessarily. It is a process. Metamorphosis takes time. Being the righteousness of God takes time too. Right before the butterfly emerges, the chrysalis cocoon becomes transparent so that the butterfly can be seen within the cocoon. And it doesn't matter that you see your wings, but rather that God sees the potential lying just beneath the surface. God looks at the heart and gives us a new name. I remember sitting in that little Assemblies of God church in Selbyville at the age of 5, 6, 7, can't remember. You've probably heard this story before. But I believe that my transformation, my metamorphosis began then. I didn't quite understand what all was going on. I knew something special had happened. But God had planted a seed or touched my heart in a certain way. And I gave my life to Christ, not fully understanding what that was all about. It wasn't until about 30 years later that metamorphosis, that cocoon, started to unravel and started to come to be the person that God had called me to be. And Pat and I experienced that together as a couple, knowing that there was something missing from our lives. And that something was not a thing at all. It was a relationship, a real relationship with the God who had blessed us beyond description with many material things. Therefore, I committed my life, and so did Pat, recommitted our lives to Christ. And first thing you know, we're serving on the board of trustees like some of you, and serving on the SPRC, and being lay speakers, and working with the youth. I started living for others, is what I'm trying to say. With my new name as a child of God, I knew that it wasn't about myself anymore. It was about others. It was about giving my heart to God. I went on the walk to Emmaus, which is part of my transformation and metamorphosis, as many of you have been on the walk. And in the process, God gave me a brand new name, a new identity. I was no longer my own, but God's. I now had my name written in a very special book, the Lamb's Book of Life, the book where we'll all be judged one day. We got to make sure that our names are listed in that Lamb's Book of Life. Folks, when we accept Christ, when we receive Christ, and we realize that we have a new name, we are a new creation in Christ. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, God's handiwork, created in Christ to do His work. You are the world, light of the world. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a branch and a part of the vine. You are a friend of God, one chosen by Christ to bear fruit. You are a personal witness of Christ, sent out to tell everyone about Him. You are a slave to righteousness, a slave to God, making you holy and giving you eternal life. You are chosen by God, holy and dearly loved. You are a child of light and not darkness. You are an heir of the kingdom of God, joint heirs with Christ to inherit His glory. You are a part of the body of Christ, the church. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit, God's living stones being built up as in Christ as a spiritual house. You are forever joined to Christ and the Lord are one in spirit with Him. You are a member of a chosen race, a race of priests, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You, people of God, are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Did you catch all that? Every bit of that was right out of Scripture. Friends, in Christ we are a new creation. Our checkered past and all of our sins are forgiven, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, and God's put a sign that says no fishing. In Christ, we receive peace with God, a peace that passes all understanding, Paul says. And we receive the blessing of being called to help others discover this new life that we have found. In Christ, we have a new identity. The old is gone. The new has come. And finally, as part of this metamorphosis, this transformation, we receive a new purpose. A new purpose in life. You remember Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and what those purposes were to be, to be in relationship with God and with one another, to be in missions, to be helping others, and to worship God and to spend time with God, and all those wonderful purposes. Paul puts it this way: all of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's good news, by the way. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul is saying that God has made us His ministers. We're all ministers, you know. I may be the professional minister, but you all of us are ministers, servants of God, ambassadors, diplomats, if you will, for the kingdom of God. And our ministry is that of reconciliation. You know what reconciliation, when you reconcile your checkbook, you make sure everything balances, right? You make sure everything falls into place and it's right. Well, God has done that for us. He has reconciled us. He has not counted our sins against us and has reconciled us, justified us through grace. This means that our new purpose in life is not about ourselves, but always seeking reconciliation in relationships with others. Why? Because God has reconciled us to Him through Christ. No longer counting our sins against us, being reconciled, we are set right in relationship with God, and we are set free from those past sins and future sins, I might add, by the grace of God. Before we come to Christ, we are like that little caterpillar. We live for ourselves, we go our own way, fulfill our own desires of the flesh. But now, as children of God, we receive not only a new life, not only a new name, but also a new purpose. The ministry of sharing the good news with one another, with those who need to hear some good news, with those who are lost, for those who are not walking with God, for those who are outside the church and needing to be brought inside into connection and relationship with God, knowing that God will not hold their sins against them. Folks, God is calling all of His children home. And I'm not talking about that pie in the sky, by and by, heaven that awaits us who believe. I'm talking about that home which is with God here and now, the already, the now part of the kingdom. If you are living a life without joy, without meaning or purpose, guess what? God can change all that. Jesus came into this world to show us the way to a new life. Didn't He say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? And that we could have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us a new name. Jesus came to give us a new purpose. To live for Him and to be a representative of the kingdom in this world. I asked you earlier where you thought you were in this spiritual transformation, in this metamorphosis, if you will. Where are you in your relationship with God? Some of you I know have been walking with Jesus all your lives. Probably 9 months before you were born, you were going to church. Some of you have just recently accepted Christ, and now you're struggling in your faith, not quite sure, you know, what this is all about. Maybe someone is here today who is just seeking answers to their questions about God, about the church. what this is all about. How can God help me? Some of us have maybe drifted a little or a lot. And we know we need to get reconnected with the source of strength, the source of our lives. Are you a caterpillar living for yourself? Or are you in the cocoon stage, longing to be set free from that binding and confining cocoon of your old ways and your old life? Today, my friends, is the day to be set free. Today is the day to live the life, the good life, the new life that God has called you to and has available to you. Today you can be that new you that you've always wanted to be, right here, right now, today. Today you can receive that new life right here, right now, that Christ offers you so that you can fly with Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I don't want to go on vacation this week knowing that there may be someone here who needs to open their heart or wants to open their heart to your love and your forgiveness. I want to extend an invitation to anyone here today that if they have not asked Christ to come into their hearts, but yet have found and felt God's touch upon their heart to come home and to be set free from their past, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off any longer. We want you to receive the good things that God has for you today. Let this prayer be your prayer today if you are such a person. Lord, I know that I have not lived a Christian life. I know, Lord, that I have said and done things and behaved in ways that I know are not of you. I'm sorry, Lord, that I have done these things and hurt other people and hurt myself. But today I want to be a new creature. I want a new life, Lord. I'm tired of the old life that I have been living. I want to receive the gift, the free gift that you have for me. And I open my heart to your forgiveness, your grace, your love. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, from this point forward with every aspect of my life, my family, my job, my finances, my career. I'm giving it all to you right here, right now. And if you are someone who has drifted, I pray that you will cry out to God, cry out to Jesus, and know that you are loved and that his open arms are waiting for you to pick you up, to dust you off, and to set you free. Lord, all this we pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.